Thank you, David, for reading that interesting and a very powerful passage. The passage ended with a question: is the Lord among us or among us or not? The past few weeks, we have been looking on the theme called When God. And we did spend some time looking at detours and dead ends. What happens when we comes to a detour and dead ends in our life? And we also looked at our plans. Yes, we always plan, and what are God's purposes? And today is the Lord among us or not? You know, I believe the same question would have been asked 21 years ago, or even in the recent past too, when the pandemic took place, or we are still in the pandemic. I believe many Christians or even many religious institutions would have asked, is God for real? Is God still with us? And why is God allowing so many things to happen in our lives? And sometimes we don't understand, but I know when we look at Scripture, you know, God speaks to us in such a way, He reveals the reason for certain things to happen in our life. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time. Father, we thank You for Your Word, because Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, O God. Help us, Lord, to draw strength from Your Word. We thank You because it gives us life. It leads us, O God, and it guides us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if I can ask you a question, what's your favorite season? How would you respond? What's your favorite season? Do you like summer to continue? Yes? Looks like you guys are ready for winter. I think it is, yes, many of us would like summer to continue. I was looking at a statistics recently. It says 57% of Canadians like summer. In other words, they're very fond of summer because you have a lot of outdoor activities, right? Your barbecues comes alive. It's a time to travel, to take road trips, and you see beautiful flowers and you enjoy the wonderful things that's happening around during the time of summer. You know, one of the things I like, you know, about Canada, because it is said it's a land of extremes. Sometimes, you know, the summer can be very difficult for us, and winter can be very dragging and also a challenging time for us. You know, I like seasons, particularly I like summer, because being from Asia, coming from Asia, you know, summer is one of the seasons we enjoy, and it's always summer over back home. You know, when you look at spring, you know, spring is, you know, it's new life, right? You see life coming back. You know, things are budding and a lot of life. The German philosopher said like this: what spring did not sow, summer cannot ripen, autumn cannot reap, and winter cannot enjoy. So we wait for spring because it gives life, and life begins to happen. And so summer is another interesting time, right? We look forward for the warm, we look forward for beauty, we look forward for fruits, we see productivity that's happening. But then autumn comes in, or in this part of the world we say fall. When autumn comes in, we see, you know, slowly the leaves are changing color. Not only that, you know, it falls and then it's ready for winter. We don't like winter, but, you know, but winter comes. There's another writer, the American writer, Sinclair, you know, he beautifully says about winter. He says, winter is not a season, but it's a task. It's not just a season, it's a task, it's a lot of hard work. And many of us don't like winter because, you know, if you're born in during the time of winter, probably you might like, but I think it's a task. We're involved in so many things. We need to clear so many things. You know, we need to be always indoors. You can't do the things that you used to do. So it is a task. I was also reading some psychological, you know, books that speaks about seasons and all that. Researchers have found that, you know, when seasons happens or changes happens in temperature and light, it can impact our moods and behaviors. Can you imagine? It impacts. Summertime, our life is full of joy, right? More of a celebrative mood. But winter kicks in, like, you know, our mood changes. And it becomes, even it affects our behaviors. You know, when I look at the seasons around, I realize, you know, even in our spiritual walk with God, there are seasons too. There are summer days, right? Days that we really look forward. You know, God has been so wonderful. You see the presence of God so powerful. And then you go into spring, you know, and you see things happening. Things are happening. You see autumn, you know, it starts getting a bit bored. What's happening? Right? And then when winter drives in, you know, you feel a bit more dry in your spiritual life. And so it also affects our life. In the passage that we just read today, it's a passage that speaks about a wilderness experience this Israelites were having. Can you imagine? They started from Egypt. It was a difficult time, 400 years of persecution, of suffering. Finally, God delivered them. That was jubilation. I believe they were just, you know, rejoicing and saying, you know, God is so wonderful. And they saw the 10 plagues, you know, how God miraculously let the people out. And not only that, you know, when they were going, they were complaining to Moses, but God was so good. He opened the Red Sea and there they passed through. There was a time, right, they were drinking bitter water and they said, no, this water is bitter. And in chapter 16, you realize, you know, God changed the water to a sweet water. And so when I look at this, I realize, you know, yes, even in our lives too, in our spiritual walk with God, there are times when we have a wilderness experience. Sometimes a season of dryness, or sometimes a season of joy or fruit, productivity. And sometimes a season where things are just budding, starts working in our life. But whatever seasons we are in, my friend, one thing is for sure, you know, God is always with us. I do not know where you are in terms of your season in your spiritual walk with God. Maybe some of us are saying, you know, things are happening in my life. I thank God because it's a spring spiritual life I'm having. Or some of you might say, you know, Pastor, winter is not yet, but you know, I'm having a struggle in my life. It's becoming dry. I feel, you know, that something needs to happen in my life, that God needs to stir my life. He needs to energize me again, empower me again. I need maybe another touch of the Holy Spirit in my life. Probably that is some of the cries of people. But let's look at, you know, the wilderness experience of these people and to learn some lessons. You know, they went through a difficult time, and so these people were asking, you know, it was a dry winter for them. In other words, it was real wilderness experience. It was dense. And they said, is the Lord with us? Is the Lord among us or not? Can you imagine? You know, when I look at the Hebrew word very carefully, it is not just a question, but it was a question of frustration. There was anger in that Hebrew word. They were saying, is the Lord, is the God of Jacob among us or not? I believe there are moments in our life, maybe silently we say, God, are you with me? Because I'm going through a difficult time in my life. Lord, the doctors are saying this. I'm having a struggle in my workplace. I'm having a difficulty in my family. Lord, are you with me? Are you hearing my prayer, Lord? Are you looking at me? Because I've been so faithful to you. I've been just listening to you. Are you with me? Let's find out, you know, from this question, a question of frustration, is the Lord still with us? One of the lessons that we learned from this particular passage, that God awakens us in the wilderness. You know, when I look at the wilderness, what was happening, it says in verse 1, it says that the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin. In some version, it's the wilderness of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord has commanded. In other words, you know, God awakens them. God allows wilderness experiences in our life, my friend. They were in a wilderness. It was a tough terrain. Some of you would have traveled to Israel. My wife and I had the privilege. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes it can be a very tough terrain. You don't see much green things around. You know, whenever, let me be very careful when I use the word wilderness here. You know, in our modern thinking, whenever we hear the word wilderness, we always equate it to desert, dry, nothing is there kind of a thing. But in those days, wilderness is something different. Right? It can be green ground, pasture, but it is uncultivated areas. Or you don't see people hanging around there. It was not cultivated. No people were around, you know, and that it was just left alone kind of a thing. And it can also mean a desert kind of an experience too. You know, you look at Scripture very carefully, particularly in the Old Testament, you see a lot of wilderness experiences happening. Moses had a wilderness experience, right? Joseph had an David had a wilderness experience when he was running away, right? And you see numerous examples of people. Even Jesus was in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. And so God allows, right, to awaken us in the wilderness, my friend. You know, in this part of the world, particularly in the Western culture, right, we are used to comforts. Right? We want comforts. We don't want troubles. Right? We don't want difficulties. We want everything done to be in a second. We want to avoid whatever wilderness possible. We want a smooth ride. Right? We want everything to be perfect. We don't want hard ground. We don't want barren ground. We don't want to feel isolated. Right? And that's the kind of world that we are living in. But God has taken them. You know, I was asking myself why. God have led these people in a very easy way to the promised land. But God allows. You know why? It's easy to take them away from Egypt, but to take Egypt from their heart requires a lot of hard work. In other words, it's easy to deliver them from the land of Egypt. Look at the passage very carefully. But to take Egypt out of their heart is a hard work. It's a lot of task because our human heart and our human mind always says, you know, before I was a Christian, I am free to do all these things. I can lie, you know, and I can do whatever I want. But after I became a Christian, it's a challenge, right? It's easy to take us away from Egypt, but to take Egypt from us, inside us, it's hard work. Because human mind is always like that. We want to go back. Look at the passage very carefully, right? They were saying, you know, Egypt is a better place. Why God allows wilderness? Because He wants to separate us from Egypt, my friend. He wants to bring us away. Because Christians, you know, as believers, we are set apart from God, for God. Look at the passages very carefully in the New Testament. The church is set apart community. And you and I are set apart people. Not that we will live a different life altogether. Yes, we live a different life, but we live a different life in the world to show that, you know, Christ is real, my friend. To separate them from Egypt, that the influences of Egypt will not be there. Secondly, we also look at, you know, that God wants to prepare His people because it's a preparing place for them for maturity. And lastly, it's a place of submission. In other words, that they will rely, they will trust on God. Do you realize God took them 40 years in the wilderness to train these people, to prepare these people, to separate these people? And you know what Moses wrote at the end of the, and almost towards the end of his journey, he wrote, right? Right? He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Why? Not that the Lord is not aware of the path, my friend. He knows. And He can do things instantly to humble us. So God allows certain wilderness experiences in our life, or even dryness in our life, when we are faithful in the walk with God, when we are living a life of obedience to God, He allows so that He will humble us and to test in order to know what was or what is in our heart today, my friend? I think that's the reason God allows wilderness experiences in our life. He has not, like Moses says, right? The Lord has not forgotten us. He is with us. So, you know, when I look at this particular word, I realize, you know, do not allow the hardship of this life or the temptations or the testings of this life to make you question the promise of God, my friend. God is always with us. And that's why Jesus said, in this world you have a lot of troubles, particularly when we live a life for Christ. We have. And God is always there for us. So God awakens us to see. Always remember, you know, a Christian, when, you know, the only way to the promised land is through the wilderness. You can't get to heaven, right, on a 407 highway, my friend. It's only through wilderness. It is the path that God wants us. Secondly, when I look at the passage, I realize, you know, God's power exceeds our expectation. You know, when we are going through a wilderness experience, what happens? Yes, we start questioning, like the Israelites, they're questioning, God, are you with us? Where are you, Lord? I believe when September 11 took place, a lot of Christian churches, even Christians were asking that question, Lord, are you with us? Or have you forgotten this land? In the dollar note, it says, in God we trust. You know, I was reading some statistics and I realized, you know, after September 11, just a couple of weeks, the churches were just flooded with people. People are just coming back. You know, they were searching for God. They were searching for the meaning of life. After a few weeks, it became normal. People are not coming back to church again. You know, that was happening. So, you know, what happens in a wilderness experience, we tend to expect, you know, and ask questions. But they were coming to a place called Rephidim, right? They came to Rephidim. It's an interesting place. It means a rest place. In the Hebrew word, it means a rest place. I remember my wife and I, when we were driving, when we were in a trip in New Zealand, driving for almost for 10 days, there was a time that we were passing by a desert, you know, and I, you know, and I was really looking for a rest place. In other words, in a place you can unwind, have a coffee, right, wash yourself, and continue driving. Then imagine, you know, we were driving. I still remember very vividly, you know, as we were driving through this particular desert, you know, I saw there's a rest area coming up. So I thought, oh, that's going to be a wonderful place, right, for me to give some kind of excuse and unwind, because I was the only driver in that particular trip. Now, when I went to the rest place, I think my wife will attest to that, I was really frustrated because it was just a place to refuel, nothing else. There was no coffee, there was no hamburgers, not even a bottle of water to buy. It was a real, instead of a rest place, it was a place to just refill your tank with gas. Can you imagine the frustration? And that was the same frustration these people were having. They are coming to Rephidim. Rephidim means it's a support place. It's a place of refreshment. It's a place, you know, that I can rest. But then when they come there, what is happening? There is no water. There is no support. You know, can you imagine? You are expecting a rest place. You are expecting these things to happen. And it doesn't happen. Sometimes, you know, the church becomes like a Rephidim, right? Now, I know some Christians have a burnout experience in the church. I'm not saying all the churches are like that, my friend. We come to church because we want the church to be a support ground, a place, you know, where not only we can connect, but it's a place that we feel enriched. You know, there are people, friends, and families around just to help us, to encourage us. But what happens if there is no support? I believe, you know, and that's why a lot of people have actually left the faith, because the church has been not been a real Rephidim, my friend. And so what was happening here? You know, they came, they felt frustrated. In verse 2, it says, what happened? Right? They quarreled with Moses and they said, give us water to drink. The same text, you know, it's interesting, the Hebrew word, and it's a very powerful, they were not saying, you know, Moses, give me, excuse me, Moses, I need water. That was not the way, right? They were saying, give us water to drink. There was frustration. And I was just trying to imagine, you know, I believe the, you know, maybe I'm stereotyped, but, you know, I believe the women would have been very frustrated and they would have been in tears, you know, and that's what women always do, right? They cry when there's a lot of frustration. But what happens to men? Their men are angry guys. They become angry, right? When they face frustration, they become anger. They show their anger. They are frustrated. They want to go into violence. Can you imagine a scene, a crisis, where you see one crowd just crying and weeping and saying, you know, what is happening? And here you see the men are really jumping and saying, you know, I'm so angry. I'm really frustrated. Egypt is a better place. You want us to die in this land? I believe, you know, that was the kind of frustration. Sometimes, even in our life, when we go through a wilderness experience, we become frustrated. And that was happening here. Not only in 16, they were frustrated, but in 17, was frustration. Can you imagine? Frustrations after frustration, desperation after desperation. Life was a consistent desperation for them. I'm not saying that God has forgotten, but sometimes God allows certain things. But He will not test us beyond our ability, my friend. And that was the expectation. They expected a rest place, right? Right, as we read, you know, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us, right? So in other words, they were saying, you know, it's better to be there in Egypt. Our former lives are better. Like as Christians sometimes, you know, when we, the Word of God says, don't do this, don't do that, we say, you know, our former life is much more better because we have the freedom to do anything and everything that we want. And that was what they were replying. You know, God does more than what they required. The Lord not only gave them water, but realized they were able to win the battle over the Amalekites in that particular chapter. They got water and they also won the war. As you go further, I think today we were singing the worship songs. You know, when you look at the songs, you know, it was a powerful reminder. It speaks to us of another spiritual significance that Jesus is the rock, my friend. Jesus does beyond, right? They got just water. But the Lord is teaching us He does things that exceeds our imagination. And today, not only He is there to be with us, but to provide us to quench our thirst, to help us, right, in terms of righteousness. And that's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, you know, when you have your time, read about it. And Paul speaks about it, that how the Lord Christ was there, just giving them the needed supply. And some scholars are of the opinion that, you know, God was always there with them, just providing the drink that they needed. Even today, I think that's a reminder that God is reminding us that He exceeds our expectation. Not only He provides our spirit, our physical thirst, but also our spiritual thirst, my friend. He guides us and He's also with us. And lastly, let me finish with this. Allow God to lead you in the wilderness. Look at the verse very carefully. What's happening here in verse 1, right? In verse 1, it says, as the Lord commanded. In other words, they were not going in the wilderness because they wanted to. They were going to wilderness because the Lord has commanded. It was God's plan according to the command of God. My friend, I do not know where you are. You might say, you know, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been just worshiping Him. But maybe God has allowed that in your life. a divine appointment. It is a divine design because He wants to shape us. He wants to mold us. He wants to prepare us. He wants us to teach us about humility, about submission, my friend, as the Lord has commanded. And so if God has brought us, and we need to say, Lord, just lead me. Allow me. Because God wants to work in our life, my friend. Sometimes we always say, Lord, take me away from the wilderness. It's not wrong to pray like that, right? But to say, Lord, even though I go through the valley of darkness, of God, just help me, lead me, guide me, and let me see your presence with me. Great examples in the Bible we see about Joseph, right? Joseph, I believe, you know, he had every reason to question God because he was sold by his brothers. He was falsely accused by Pharaoh's wife. Even the butler forgot about him. He could have, you know, he could have blamed every people. But he said, you meant bad, but I think God meant good for me. If God is leading us through a wilderness, there is a purpose. There is a design. There is a design, a divine appointment in our lives, my friend. And that's why, you know, Moses was very powerful, right? In Deuteronomy 32:10, he says that even in the desert land, that's a song of Moses. Moses writes, he says, in the desert land, he found him in a barren and a howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Are you going through a wilderness experience? Let me tell you, you know, if God has allowed, God is with you. God is with us just to guide us and help us. Let me conclude with this story about two young boys. And they were staying in an interesting place because they had a lot of hills around the place. The younger guy, the second guy, you know, the parents promised him, you know, when you grow up, right, when your next birthday comes, you can go to the hilltop and play with your brother, because the older brother was allowed to go to the hilltop to play, but the younger one was not allowed. So he was very frustrated because he wants to go to the top and to play, but he was not allowed. So when his birthday came, he celebrated the birthday, and then the parents finally approved his request by saying, now you are, you know, 1 year older. You're an older kid now. You can go with your brother and to the hilltop and play. And so this boy was so excited. You know, he wanted to play with his brother on the hilltop. And as he was just walking through the hilltop, he was complaining to the brother. He said, I don't like the path because there are a lot of stones. There are a lot of rocks. You know, it's difficult. And the older brother, because of his maturity in age, probably his experience too. And he said, you know, don't worry about that. Those stony places or even rocks are what we use to climb on. These rocks are there for us to put our legs, put our food, right, to give us stability and to walk further. And finally, the boy was able to join his brother on the hilltop to play. And I was reading this story, I was just trying to think, if the younger brother would have said, you know, I don't like, I think I better prefer to be on the lower ground. He could have done that, my friend. It's better to be in Egypt because there's no restriction. I can live a life of my own. But you want to go to a hilltop, God has placed rocks, stony places. And you know, these things are not to hurt you, not to hinder us, but to help us. So your wilderness experience, if it's allowed by God, is to help you to reach higher ground, to go to the hilltop, my friend. How wonderful, right? If we are like the older brother in the church, just to guide someone, a younger one, and say, come along with me because I know the way. I've done it before. I've experienced. I think that's how the church should be, a Rephidim, my friend. and saying, come along with me. I'm there. I know the path. Yes, it's difficult, but it's interesting. Because once, if you want to go to the top, you need the rocks. You need the stones. You need to face hard grounds. Yes, God is always with us. Let's pray. We realize in this part of the world, particularly nations who are postmodern, we want things which is easy, brings comfort. We don't want to be challenged. We want an easy ride. But in a Christian way, it's not that kind of path that God has prepared. From Egypt, if you want to go to the promised land, it's only through the wilderness, my friend. There's no other path. It will be a place of testing. It will be a place of trial. Yes, it's going to be a place of rejoicing too. It's a place where you see the miracles of God happening. Don't go back to Egypt because Egypt is not the place that God wants us. He's waiting for us in the promised land, my friend. Like the young boys, let's use every difficulty, every hardship, every challenge as a path to reach God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are not alone in this journey. When we live a life for you, your presence is always assured. In times of our frustration, God, help us to know that you are with us. And help us, O Lord, to remember the many things that you have done in our lives. And like us as a church, God, help us to encourage one another in this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.